The anime streaming service Crunchyroll costs $7 a month. Mubi, which includes foreign and indie films, is $6 a month. Horror movie service Shudder is $5 a month. Verve's Verve Select service carries all of those streaming services, plus several others, for only $10 a month, and has its own original shows like Harmon Quest and My Brother and Me. Verve also just added the entire Stargate catalog and the new Stargate original series. Arlen Marmel, who runs Verve, sat down with me to talk about the service. Hey, Arlen Marmel, I appreciate you talking to me. We've talked a lot over the last several months, off and on, just about what Verve is doing in my reporting for Decider. And I thought as a more of a consumer-oriented approach, we could talk about what you're doing for the podcast more specifically in terms of the content side, and specifically because you've had an announcement within the last couple of weeks about Stargate. So I thought this seemed like a great time to talk.
Great. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, our stated mission with Verve is to build fans a better universe, and we take that pretty seriously. Our goal is to pretty much bring together the best of passion fandom streaming services into one unified experience and to create an infrastructure around that so that people can not only watch the content, but also connect with each other. And over time, we're hopeful that maybe we can have a commerce store. We could potentially have an ebook reader. And so we see a broader vision for how people interact with this content, because it tends to be that most of this sort of passion content, people tend to want to really engage deeply, and they don't want to just watch it. They want to talk about it. They want to buy the t-shirt. They want to engage. And so we're pretty excited about where we're going. And you alluded to our most recent deal, which was for all of the Stargate content. So all of the series, all of the films, and in particular, their new series, Stargate Origins. And so we're really excited about being able to bring that to the Verve audience. So all of the content that we put on Verve sits inside our $10 bundle. So everyone who has previously subscribed got access to all of this great Stargate content at no additional cost. And for anyone who signs up moving forward, they will get it as part of our bundled offering. And for those that are uninitiated, our bundle, and I won't exhaustively list it, but we have Crunchyroll, Funimation, Drama Fever, Shudder, Rooster Teeth, Curiosity Stream, and we have our own house channel called Verve Select, where all of that Stargate content lives, along with some other really awesome stuff like Harmon Quest, for example, is an exclusive series on Verve.
So when you subscribe to Verve Select, you get access to all of those other services. Do those come into your interface, or does your password work on their apps? How does that part work?
So Verve is comprised of a set of channels. I mentioned Crunchyroll and Funimation and Rooster Teeth, Curiosity Stream, and so on. And Verve Select is one of those channels. So long as you pay for our bundled offering, which is $10, you get access to everything that's on Verve, inclusive of Verve Select. So we have two exclusive channels to Verve, Mondo and Cartoon Hangover, which are two great animation channels. And then we use Verve Select to license other cool stuff that we think our fans will like. So we have a bunch of films from G-Kids, in particular a documentary about Miyazaki that's been very popular. I mentioned Harmon Quest. We also have My Brother and Me and the Cyanide and Happiness Show and a lot of other great content that we program through Verve Select alongside our partner channels. So with the example of, say, Drama Fever or Crunchyroll, everything that they put on their service makes its way through Verve, through their channel on the platform. And to the extent that you subscribe for $10, you get access to everything. So it's a really great amalgam of all of the best streaming services out there.
And I think you have Curiosity Stream, which is one of my show's sponsors.
Yes, we have Curiosity Stream, which actually, sadly, Stephen Hawking passed about a week ago. They have an amazing series on Curiosity Stream that is actually free right now, both on the Curiosity Stream service and on Verve, that people should check out. But we also have Mubi, which is art house films, Shudder, which is horror. So we kind of hit a lot of different verticals. And I think one of the truisms of Verve is that we really recognize that the audience doesn't fit neatly into one bucket. You know, there are certainly, I myself am a huge wrestling fan. And I obviously love a lot of other content. You know, I love Game of Thrones and Billions. And so, you know, I think often we try to put people in buckets, but the reality of the Verve audience is that they're complex and they're multi-layered, and we respect that. And so we have a service that has Korean drama content and horror content and anime and, you know, great nostalgia animation, for example. And the audience has responded to that, and they tell us that, you know, it feels like Verve gets them, and that's our goal. When I hear that, I feel really, really rewarded. With that said, I still think we have a ton of work to do, and we're working on bringing a lot more content to the service to hopefully delight our users.
Is most of your viewing traffic on smartphones still, or are you seeing a big increasing percentage to connected TV and smart TV devices?
So it's a great question. Verve is available on web, on mobile devices, and on living room devices. And recently we launched Apple TV and the Android devices along with the Fire devices. And so we've seen living room continue to grow more and more. Interestingly, a lot of users discover us through the web. And that's not, maybe not, you know, super surprising, but a lot of people navigate around and they find us through the website.
And
but
that's then when because it comes you to- have something of a freemium model on the web, right, where you can actually watch some things without subscribing.
Yeah, our freemium model actually expands across all of our platforms. So, for example, on Apple TV, we have, as I mentioned, whatever content Crunchyroll or Funimation or Drama Fever puts on their service, we put that on Verve, and we have the same windowing. So on Apple TV, for example, the only place to watch free Crunchyroll content, because the Crunchyroll app is premium only, is Verve. So another example is Shudder doesn't have a PlayStation 4 app. So the only place to watch Shudder on PlayStation 4 is Verve. And I can keep going on and on, but the idea is that we want to be distributed wherever the audience is. We have a freemium model across all of those services, and we definitely see the lion's share of the consumption on living room and mobile, in particular, because obviously living room, you know, it's the biggest screen. It's a lean back experience. But all of our content is universally available across all of these devices.
Are you seeing longer viewing sessions from people that are watching primarily on living room TV?
We definitely are, but we actually launched offline viewing late last year on our mobile devices, and so we're definitely seeing that behavior take hold on mobile devices. It's obviously less relevant for the living room, but certainly to the extent that you're traveling or you're in low bandwidth areas or you're somewhere where there is no streaming capability, like a subway or something like that, offline viewing can be really, really popular. And so we have that available across all of the content on Verve. So again, just as you think about, you know, what's possible for a lot of our partners, often being on Verve augments their experience, not just because of the adjacency of the other content and the aggregation, but also because of the feature set of Verve. So I mentioned we're widely distributed. We also have offline viewing. We're starting to dabble with linear, with a linear feed that we're hopeful will come to bear within the next couple of months.
You know, I don't understand that. I'm seeing that from a lot of different services, and I don't understand for viewers that have gotten very accustomed to Netflix and, Hulu and Amazon and services where you watch, you initiate yourself from a menu what you want to watch. Why those types of programming make sense in a linear sit down and watch what's on? Isn't that what we're leaving? I mean, isn't that part of the reason these services work?
Sure. That's a great question. And I tend to think of it through the lens of discovery and a different behavior altogether. So if I think about myself, I am quote unquote a cord cutter. I watch a lot of content on demand. And as you said, I think there's something really elegant about the on-demand experience. If you talk to someone who's, you know, 14 years old and you tell them that they might have, if you explain to them how watching television used to be and that you could possibly miss the first 20 minutes of something simply because you weren't home on time, you know, they can't wrap their head around that. So there is a real elegance to on-demand. The fact that it's all available, you can press play, it's on your timing, and you control that experience, that's awesome. But I think if you think about your own experience, there it's kind of a heavyweight decision. You know, it becomes appointment viewing, and I think you can get overwhelmed by choice. And by the way, sometimes you don't necessarily, you know, if you think about the way people use content, on demand is really amazing for sitting down, you know, and focusing on consuming something that you had intended to watch all along. I think what it's not great for is, you know, that sort of companionship or that white noise playing in the background, or frankly, like, you know what, just show me something random. I had a stressful day. I don't want to make a heavyweight decision right now. Just like put something on so that I can relax. And so I think that linear feed, it doesn't necessarily steal the value of that on-demand experience. In other words, we won't replace on-demand with linear, but it will augment it. And so to the extent that you come to Verve, for example, and you don't know exactly what you want to watch, and you don't want to spend 40 minutes sifting through this vast catalog, you can just hit this button and something will be playing. And so it's really, really easy. And, you know, I make a joke about Netflix that no one watches it before 6 p.m. Like, how many people have watched Netflix before 6 p.m.? Because I think it doesn't serve a lot of those use cases. In other words, like, you're waking up in the morning and you just want to flick something on as you're getting out of bed and getting dressed. Netflix isn't that good for that use case. So I think it just serves a different or solves a different problem.
You know, I have noticed, and it makes sense with like Cheddar or Bloomberg, because those are essentially news streaming channels. But I've even noticed with People TV, when you turn on People TV, you get the default feed. And I've talked to them about it before of like, doesn't that annoy people? Aren't they just backing out of that and picking something to watch? And People TV has told me, no, people watch it. You know, people sit down and watch the live news feed that they've got on, you know, at the, you know, for 30 or 40 minutes while they're showing, because it's something from today or something from today's news or whatever they're showing. What would you put on yours? I mean, you're not really a news pegged service. What would be on a linear feed if you had one?
Yeah, so good question. You know, there's definitely the live use case where, to the extent, so we don't have live streaming yet today. We're working on that, but we have some really popular programs that are popular as they air live. So, for example, Critical Role is a really popular show that's live streamed. We get a ton of consumption on it after the fact, mm-hmm. When it's on demand. But, you know, we love that program and would love to live stream it. So, you know, a feed becomes really useful around live content, which you said. But I also think, back to that point about discovery, you can take things that are not quote unquote live, that are catalog content, and you can surface them back up. And so I call this the sort of the Fast and the Furious use case. You know, when you turn on the TV and Fast and Furious 4 is on and you definitely would not have chosen to watch it, but it's there and you're halfway through the movie and you're like, yeah, sure, why not? And so I think we can bubble up a bunch of things from our catalog, often sort of the torso and long tail, that are beloved titles that people might not choose in an on-demand capacity, but if they're playing, it delights people. And we've experimented with this a little bit already with Twitch. So we've done a Verve marathon and a Crunchyroll marathon with Twitch, where we program certain shows. In some cases, they're classics, beloved classics. In certain cases, they're new titles that we really want people to check out and discover. So, for example, when we had the Verve marathon on Twitch, we were streaming Bravest Warriors, which is something that people really love. We were also streaming Dofus, which is something that's newer that we thought people would really enjoy. And it's just a great way for people to discover content. And it's just, you know, in some cases, it can be like a longer trailer. You know, if you use Netflix, you know that these days when you thumb over everything, it sort of plays a trailer. I think a linear feed can just be like a longer trailer. It's playing and you can choose to watch it if you want, or if not, you can back out and you can go watch whatever you want on demand.
The research I've been seeing lately is that particularly younger streamers will have access to two or three or even more services. Are you seeing that rather than competing with every other service, that you're in an ecosystem where you're one of a handful that they have access to?
Yeah, so there are a couple services that I think of as utilities, and I'll put Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and maybe HBO in that category. So by default, we just make the assumption that our users have one or all of those, right? And that's totally okay. We are not in any way competing with those services. Then there are a bunch of other services out there, some of which I've mentioned, many of which are on Verve today, that the audience we're going after, we think, really enjoys. And for them, we're solving a few problems. One, we're bringing them into one app. So you can have one app on your phone, you can have one app on your device instead of having 15 and having to, you know, discover the content and all these discrete experiences through different UIs. And hopefully it's a best-in-class experience. You know, Verve just works. We're rolling out recommendations and personalization. I mentioned offline viewing. And we're going to continue to – we're a technology company, so we're going to keep iterating and ensure that that product is awesome and best-in-class. Then there's a value in terms of all of these different services that you get inside this $10 experience. And you can have a relationship with just one – you know, one of the things that we heard – when we first launched Verve, is that a lot of the users were frustrated by having to pay 10 different services, 10 different fees for all these things. So it's kind of a long way of saying, we think most people will have some combination of Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and HBO. And then there's a bunch of other services that they may or may not have, and we can make it really easy for them to get access to those services in one experience. So, you know, our intention is to not at all compete with what Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and HBO does. And by definition, we are not a general audience type of offering. You know, we're going for differentiated content. You know, I talk about us as sort of like the quirky video store. Like, we're, you know, a little bit of a dated reference, but we're definitely not Blockbuster. We're the you know, mom and pop shop that you go to where you know that the person behind the counter really, really gets films and recommends something to you that that blows your mind, you know, when you watch it later. And so that's the hole that Verve can fill. And hopefully we're both augmenting our partners' businesses and not at all competing with, you know, the Netflixes of the world. And I think anime is a great example of that. So Netflix has some anime on their service, but it's definitely not enough to satiate a true anime fan. And that's where Crunchyroll or Funimation or Verve can come to play, where we take those people that really want to go deeper and get to that next level of engagement and consumption, and we make it super easy for them.
One of the investors in Verve is AT&T. Has that resulted in you being like a bundled offering for phone subscribers or for home subscribers? Or are you automatically available or easy to add for people that subscribe to some of those services?
So to date, we've operated, you know, as you mentioned, they're one of our investors. The Churning Group is another investor. And to date, we've operated pretty independently. So, you know, most of what we've accomplished has been independent of that, other than they are our investors and they've funded these efforts. With that said, I think you will see over time us do more and more in partnership with AT&T. Obviously, they speak to almost every consumer in the U.S. They have a lot of touch points through their stores and otherwise. They now own DirecTV. And so we think there's a lot we can do with them. And to be honest with you, it's really our responsibility to make sure that Verve is a compelling enough service for them to be able to give their consumers. And as I mentioned, we are not a broad market general offering. Verve is not for everyone, and we are frankly proud of that, and that is not our intention. So, you know, we have to work with AT&T to find the people that Verve is right for, and I think you will see us do more of that over time.
Have you said what your subs are, or less than a million or more than a million, or have you talked about that at all?
So we have not announced our subscribers to date. We have talked about registered users. We have over 2.5 million registered users at this point in time. I can also share that our premium subscribers are spending over an hour a day watching Verve.
Wow.
We've exceeded 1 billion minutes. So generally, I would say we're really proud of our underlying stats and performance. You know, we felt that by virtue of putting an aggregated platform together and creating a bundle, we'd be able to give the audience a lot more value. And hopefully, you know, any one of these individual services has to worry about someone canceling in any given month where their content is sort of off, if you will. When you look at something like Verve, we kind of have something for you at all times. And our goal is actually over time to give the user even more reason to subscribe. So today, most people subscribe to Verve because they see the value of multiple channels, or we have an exclusive show that they're really excited about, like A Bravest Warriors or Harmon Quest. In the future, our hope is that there are more benefits to subscribing to Verve. So, yeah.
Well, I want to finish on one particular show. In fact, you just mentioned it, and I was about to bring it up. Harmon Quest is a show that you and I have talked about before, probably the show on the service that I've seen the most of. It's a bizarre sort of hybrid comedy, Dungeons and Dragons game.
Animated, with comedy, improv.
How do you describe that show? Or I guess tell me a little more from sort of your perspective why you think the show works.
So first of all, I think it's just a really great content. And often great content stands apart from any genre or theme. In other words, you don't have to be a D&D fan to watch that show, right? It's just funny. And certainly people who are not into tabletop gaming watch that show and really enjoy it. And there are great guests, and it's entertaining. And so that's the most important thing. So that's at the highest level why I think it works.
So the setup is that these people are around a table, and I think it's in front of a live audience, right?
Or that's correct, sometime. Yep.
And so they're playing this game, and you've got one person that's setting up the game that they're playing.
Yeah, so Spencer is the game master, and he basically writes a story arc about how the game evolves. And then there are certain recurring characters, Dan Harmon, the creator of Community and Rick and Morty being one of them, and they invite a new guest each week. And they tend to be, you know, pretty well-known people, Aubrey Plaza, Kumail, folks like that. And they come on and play a character. And so they, through the course of the game, improvise with some story points from Spencer through this journey. And as you said, they're in front of a live studio audience. And then later, you know, all of this content is recorded. It gets, part of it gets animated. And you actually, as they're talking about, you know, the fantastic things that are happening on their journey, it intercuts them sitting at the table talking with animation. And the animation is really great. It's done by Starburns, who's down in LA, who's a really talented group of folks.
Which is also Dan Harmon.
That's correct. Dan Harmon is behind Starburns. And obviously, he is a key to why the show works, because he's an incredibly talented, creative, unique person. But I also think that Harmon Quest is just a great fit for Verve and the Verve audience, because when you watch it, and you were saying, even, you know, when you were talking about it, you were kind of like, it's a little weird and different. It's probably not something you would see in the mainstream or on traditional television. And I think you could say that for a lot of the content on Verve that's popular. So we have a series called Last Man or Bravest Warriors or Bein' Puppycat. I mentioned Critical Role. These are all things that I think are a little bit off center, a little bit outside the norm. And they have characters and talented people behind them that are a little bit maybe more like you and me than, say, a Ben Affleck. And I think that's what we're about. We're about telling different kinds of stories that you might not see through the mainstream. And I think Harmon Quest is the perfect example of that. And when we look at the other content that people who like Harmon Quest watch, you would be shocked at what an interesting cross-section it is across Verve. So, you know, you have some anime in there and some content from Shudder and some things from Geek & Sundry. You know, obviously it's overlap with Critical Role, but it just really spans the entire gamut. And I think that's why Harmon Quest is such a great fit. It really speaks to what we're trying to accomplish with the Verve brand.
Well, Arlen Marmel, I appreciate you talking to me. This is a fun service. I always like talking to you because it is different than most of the services that I cover for Decider and people that I've had on the show. And it's just always such an interesting mix of new things to talk to you about what you're doing on Verve. So I really appreciate you talking to me.
thank you very much for making the time. And for anyone who's curious about Verve, download it on your device. As we mentioned, there's a free experience. There's a ton of free content to watch. And if you're interested in the premium experience, there's a 30-day free trial so you can check it out risk-free. And we really hope you'll like it. And we're going to keep adding more and more content over time. Hopefully I can come back and tell you we're working on a really big deal that we're excited about that I can't announce yet. But we hope it comes to fruition this summer. And I'd love to come tell you more about it.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.